bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Thankful that the Lord has blessed us with another beautiful day that we can worship Him. I had to think of a song in the Christian hymnal on page 615. Speaks about that. It always was sort of one of my favorite songs. I think I remember it being sung in the funeral of one of my great-grandparents back in a little Baptist church down around the West Plains. And I remember them singing the song, "We are going down the valley, one by one, with our faces toward the setting of the sun. Down the valley where the mournful cypress grows, where the stream of death in silence onward flows. We are going down the valley one by one when the labors of the weary day are done. One by one the cares of earth forever past. We shall stand upon the river bank at last. We are going down the valley one by one, human comrade, you or I will there have none." This is the most important part, probably the whole song. "But a tender hand will guide us, lest we fall. Christ is going down the valley with us all." Aren't you thankful? "We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going toward the setting of the sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, one by one." This came to my mind this morning. I had to think oftentimes over at OCC, Brother Dan would bring up a certain verse and he would ask the men a question. And I wonder if you can answer the question that he would ask them. He would make the statement, he would start a verse, and there are, this verse is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, looks like, or Matthew and Mark, yes, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it says, the answer, there's three answers to it. And the question is, "Whosoever will come after me, let him," what? Okay. "Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Those three things. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I've heard him say that many, many times over there at OCC. And it was, I think it was really good to impress it upon the men and upon each one of us personally. That if we're going to come after him, if we're going to follow, if we're going to follow Jesus, then this old selfish self has to be denied. And we have to take up a cross daily, live the crucified life, and then step in the steps of the Savior. And he's the one that led the way. So I'd like to look over into Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, if you'd like to look with us today. Isaiah 53. I'd like to start reading there with the very first verse. Maybe before we go any further, let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, again, we come with thankful hearts to Thee. We're so thankful that Thou art going down the valley with each one of us. As we pass through this life, we realize there are many things that we face in life, that life is real and the judgment is sure. And we pray this morning that Thou will help us, Lord, that we might realize the seriousness of living for Thee. Help us, dear Father, that we might step in the steps of the Savior and realize that Jesus is our great example. And He made the way before us. He showed us the way. And we pray that Thou will help us, Lord, that we might conscientiously and carefully walk with Thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 53, "Who hath believed our report? and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. He shall grow up, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now in the world we're living in today, we find that the popular Christianity puts forth a charismatic individual, someone that is pushing himself forward, someone who is glamorous in a glamorous way. You've heard them speak about health, wealth, and I can't even think of the third thing they speak about. Okay. That if you become a Christian, then this is the way it's going to be. But the scripture says that Jesus, he grew up as a tender plant out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I don't believe there was a bit of put on with Jesus. I believe when he sat down out there on the hillsides and gathered his disciples and the multitudes around him, and Jesus was talking to them, speaking and preaching to them, he spoke with authority. He spoke with the authority of God, and he didn't need to put on anything. I believe he spoke with earnestness and with everything that he had, so the people realized he meant what he said exactly. But I don't believe there was a bit of put on. I don't believe there was anything trying to draw people to the flesh, but it was heavenward. He was pointing them the way to heaven. So there was no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. What he went through, I don't believe we'll ever be able to comprehend. I don't know if any of us would think this morning of ourselves as being despised. Does anyone look down on you so that you would feel like that they just despise you? They can't stand you? They can't stand to be around you? This was the place where Jesus was. It says he was despised and rejected of men. And I had to think of our lesson this morning, how Paul, he thought he was doing right when he would take the Christians and throw them in jail, and then some of them would be killed, and he ascended to their death. And it said he was exceedingly mad. He was no put on with him either. He thought he was doing right, but he was exceedingly mad. He wasn't playing around. He meant to get rid of these heretics, these ones who were promoting a false gospel. And Jesus was bearing the brunt of it all, it seems like here. He's despised, he's rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The Son of God, the ruler of the universe, come down here to show us the way to heaven, and yet despised a man, rejected. They said, we'll have nothing to do with him. They said, crucify him, crucify him. He's to blame. And throwed all of the blame on Jesus, the one who the Father was so willing to give that we might have eternal life. And he was so willing to come and to bear the sins of the whole world, and yet was rejected by the most. It says here, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. There is no time, no doubt, where we need the Lord more. and you and the family that have lost a loved one, where you sense that you need the help of the Lord in this time particularly because of losing a dear one and the grief that goes along with it. It's wonderful that we don't have to sorrow as the world where there is no hope, where they know that the one that they're talking about is had nothing to do with God and rejected God, and they know if they have any realization of what eternity is like, they know where he is. But where there is hope and there is the sorrow is taken away in the measure that we look to meet again, and yet still yet there is grief that grips the heart. And the scripture says here that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Sometimes when you can't bear your griefs, you can't carry your sorrows, you just feel like they're pressing you down, it would crush you completely. The Lord can just slip along and put his arm down underneath. Pick you up. And he can do the carrying. He can do the walking. And you just rest in him. And that's what we need. And yet, even after he did all of these things, the world, many of them, they don't esteem him. It says that you did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. That has always been a real challenge to me in thinking that after he was so mistreated, he was wounded. Hopefully there's nobody here that has had somebody just openly spit in your face, or that have just completely come up and just boxed you across the side of the face and made fun of you like they did with Jesus. He was wounded. He was bruised. And all of us like sheep have gone astray, gone our own way. And all that was laid on him, all of it. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I believe that we see a little bit of that as in the garden, Jesus, just before the cross, where that he went forward and fell down on his face and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he groaned because he had the weight of the iniquity and the sin and bearing the sins and iniquities of the whole world. Some people go through horrible things. We've just heard some of the things that have happened just the recent days. Somebody opened up and killed, 20 innocent children in school. And six or eight adults just shot them down in cold blood. And then, I don't know how many of you get the little thing on your phones from Pablo Yoder. Probably a number of you read about two sisters sitting in their home between 85 and 90. And someone knocked on the door, I think it was about 10 o'clock. It was last night. Anyway, it was just within the day, next last day or so. And acting like he was an insurance salesman. And they let him in. And he then proceeded to tie him up, take duct tape and tape their hands together and their feet. And then begin to abuse them, had a cattle prod and begin to shock them, slap them, hit them, beat them. 85, 90-year-old women, and another one came home then while he was in the process of doing this, and he also got her and tied her all up, was abusing them horribly. I don't know how a man, it just shows what the devil promotes in a heart that is open to the devil. There is no limit to what evil and wickedness can come out of it. And did all kinds of horrible things to these three women. All of them were in the hospital. They didn't think that it was going to be life-threatening to any of them, but it was a horrible situation that they went through. But think of what Jesus went through. They didn't just stop at slapping him. They didn't just stop at berating him and making fun of him. But then they took the old cross out there and laid him down on it, one of the worst ways of death that a man could go through, and nailed him to it. And I can't begin to think about that, to have a big old rough nail driven through my hand into the wood, and then to have the cross taken up and no doubt thoughtlessly just allowed to drop into the grave as the flesh are ripped. The one that was dying for them, the one that was dying for them that they wouldn't have to lose their soul and be lost for all eternity. Jesus showed us the way. He showed us how concerned that we should be for the lost. And do any of us even grasp, do we really have a vision of eternity? Do we really have a vision of souls that are slipping out into eternity? There was a song, I'm sure it's familiar to all of us, but it says, I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had passed out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed, and musing in silent devotion, eternity seemed to draw near, and strains from the choir of the faithful I seemed in my fancy to hear. Do we ever sit down and just think? The devil don't want us to do much thinking. He wants us to keep busy. He wants some music to be going. He wants something to be happening all the time. He doesn't want us to meditate much on the word. He doesn't want us to think much about eternity. He doesn't want us to think much about where we're going or the results of our actions in our life. But he said, I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years and thought of the fate of the guilty. And the first verse, it spoke about many a pilgrim had passed out into this infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed. And now the fate of the guilty when Christ in his glory appears. A shudder came o'er my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost. A moment. For eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. And people think, well, it doesn't, a moment of pleasure and sin, it'll soon be over and I can enjoy it and then I can get forgiveness from it and I can go on my way and still make it in. Many never regain what they lost in a moment of time. I saw then the judge in his splendor as he stepped to his great judgment seat and thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. I can't grasp that. In our little space of time, 6,000 years, however many years it is there, from the time that time began to the time that it ends, and then the endless day for the saints and the endless night for the ones who are lost. And then it goes on and on, eternity. No end out there, no end from where it came from in this little period of time that we live in, just a speck of that time. And then eternity goes on and on and on. Is it not a solemn thing when we think of slipping on out into eternity? It's a wonderful thing when a saint goes home to be with the Lord. The scripture speaks about it being precious in his sight. the death of a saint is precious in the sight of God, but he's not willing that any should perish, any should die and be lost. That's why he gave everything. This last verse, particularly, there was a thought there that it says, let us work while 'tis day, brother, sister. Work, for soon shall the master return to garner the wheat that we harvest. We're laboring in the harvest field, reaping for the master, the chaff in his fury to burn. For those that have rejected what God gave, his only begotten Son, rejected his love, they have nothing to face but the awful fury of an almighty God. Then in haste, let us rush to the rescue. For few we can save at the most. Soon millions shall be at the judgment, forever eternally lost. What a admonition for every one of us. And this is why we have Isaiah 53. This is why Jesus went through all of these things. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken because of my sins. My sins were one of some of the reasons that Jesus was nailed to the cross. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth. Jesus had nothing to try to deceive anyone about. There was no violence with him. There was no deceit. There was no put on. There was no seeking for pride, seeking to have his way as far as anger and all of that type of thing. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, I believe that his face shines when he looks down and he sees his saints that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that have been cleansed and pure and carefully making their way towards the celestial city, not looking to the left, not looking to the right, plugging their ears to the suggestions of the devil, ignoring the thoughtless worldly crowd out there that's following the devil, and walking humbly and carefully with their Savior. I believe there's nothing that pleases him more. It says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And this morning, the plea is for each one of us today, if we will come after him, let us deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, step in the steps of the Savior. May the Lord help us that we might walk carefully before him. Every time that one of his saints slips out of this world, it should bring us to the place again of a solemn searching, and allowing God to search our hearts and try the reins of our hearts, because just that quickly we can slip into eternity. Let's kneel in prayer.